The Call of Wisdom, Proverbs 1, 1 through 10, 20 through 22, 32 through 33, the Sunday School lesson for June 7th, 2020. Have it your way. You deserve it. Pamper yourself. Do whatever you want, just so it doesn't hurt anybody else, that is. You have a right to be happy. Our world is filled with such folly. We have never needed the wisdom of Proverbs more than we need it today. Here we find a different vision of life. It's said very well in this quote from the NIV Zondervan Study Bible Commentary on page 1192. The Proverbs concern themselves with qualities such as honesty, integrity, diligence, kindness, generosity, readiness to forgive, truthfulness, patience, humility, cheerfulness, loyalty, temperance, and self-control. Anger is to be held in check. Violence and quarrelsomeness shunned, gossip avoided, arrogance repudiated, drunkenness, gluttony, envy, and greed are also to be renounced. The poor are not to be exploited, the courts are not to be unjustly manipulated, legitimate authorities are to be honored, parents are responsible to care for the proper instruction and discipline of their children, and children are to duly honor their parents and bring no disgrace on them. Today's lesson, aptly called The Call of Wisdom, comes from Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to look at Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, then 8 through 10, then 20 through 22, and finally 32 through 33. I've added verses 5, 6, and 9 to what is in the quarterly. First, Proverbs 1 to 7, the prologue of the book. Here we discover the source and purpose of the Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The book of Proverbs indicates that various wise people contributed proverbs to its collections. Nevertheless, to its seven collections, actually, of proverbs. Nevertheless, many of the proverbs go back to Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Sometimes we call Shakespeare the father of English drama. In an even more profound sense, Solomon was the father of wisdom in Israel. He, the king, the promised descendant of David, speaks with authority. He asked God for wisdom and received from God wisdom beyond the wisest human being. He is the God-given authoritative fount of wisdom. He also set an example for the simple person or the youth who answers wisdom's call. Finally, by his fall, he is a warning that the wise must continue in wisdom. A warning against falling into folly. What is the purpose of these proverbs? For gaining wisdom and instruction. Wisdom is knowing how to live properly both with God and with our fellow human beings. Since it doesn't come naturally, it requires instruction. Our default as human beings is self-centered folly. That is why Proverbs spends so much time urging us to pursue wisdom. This wisdom, gained through humble attention to instruction, prepares us for understanding words of insight. Words of insight refers to the teaching of this book, to the various proverbs and sayings and teachings that it contains. It isn't enough just to read these words or even to memorize them. Wisdom consists in understanding how to apply these words of insight in prudent behavior. Above all, that requires the humility to receive instruction from the wise. The last line of verse 3 summarizes this prudent behavior in a nutshell. Doing what is right and just and fair. Sounds a lot like what the prophets that we have been studying said, doesn't it? Such fairness is no matter rightness and justice is no matter of emotional outburst. It takes wisdom received humbly through instruction to produce such prudent behavior, to know what is wise, to know what is right and just and fair, and to do it. Verses 4 and 5 introduce the audience to whom the Proverbs are directed. We can find ourselves within this audience. On the one hand, we have the simple and the young. They have not gone astray, or at least the young have not, at least not yet. They haven't fallen into folly, but they are in danger of doing so if they do not listen to instruction and pursue Lady Wisdom's call. The young, in particular in Proverbs, are in need of instruction to pursue wisdom for their lives. The simple are sometimes, the term the simple is sometimes used for one on the verge of folly, or for one who has begun to pursue folly and will not turn back. The book of Proverbs has special relevance to the young and inexperienced. They need prudence, knowledge, and discretion. The wise writer would save them from the tragedy of folly. So we have the young who are in need, the simple who are in danger of falling or have begun to fall or turn away. But the Proverbs are also for the wise. Excuse me. The wise know, are the people who know that they need the Proverbs. The wise know that they need wisdom. It is indeed a mark of their wisdom when they listen and add to their learning. That is how those who are already discerning receive guidance. The wise person who claims to know it all has become a fool. The wise person who thinks they don't need to learn anything more is very foolish. Beware of Solomon's fall. The first mark of a wise person is the humility to listen and receive further instruction. This first chapter of Proverbs would impress that on us before we go to the following chapters. It is this humility to receive further instruction that prepares people for understanding Proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Verse 7 gives us the only solid foundation for this wisdom for living. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom begins with the humble recognition that God is God. He is the creator of this world. He is the awesome one. He is the one who has established the world, the proper way to live in his world. He is the source not only of salvation, but of the true wisdom for living. And the two are very closely intertwined. I am not the source of wisdom. You are not the source of wisdom. Even the wise teachers are not the source of wisdom. When I listen to them, I'm seeking the wisdom of God. Solomon himself is not the source of wisdom. He has received it. It is here that the breach between the quote wisdom, unquote, of this world and the wisdom of God becomes clear. The one is self-centered. The one is self-seeking. The one is corrupt. The other seeks to please God and shows concern for my neighbor. It is the exercise of love of God and love for neighbor. Now, in verses 8 through 10, we are introduced to one of the fundamental building blocks of wisdom. And we are shown the consequences of the neglect of wisdom. The fundamental building blocks of wisdom, your father's instruction and your mother's teaching. Verses 8 through 10. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. The home is to be the first building block for instruction and wisdom. Too often today, that is not the case. Young people are taught by precept and example to stand up for themselves, to get by however they can, to take advantage when they can get it. But it is the responsibility of godly parents to pass on God's wisdom. Thus the exhortation, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Just as a garland of flowers gracing your head and a chain of gold adorning your neck, signify beauty and honor. So pursuit of their teaching will give you a beautiful and an honorable life that will shine before all. But then there is the other voice, the voice of sinful men, of the gang, of friends, of bad peers for the young or bad peers for any of us. Don't give in to them. Stay away from their enticements. Verses 11 through 19 describe their enticements and the dire consequences of their foolish way of life. They appeal to self-centeredness, to get-rich-quick schemes, to violence and bloodshed in the name of wealth and luxury. But they will be caught in their own bloodshed. Their way is the way of death. Proverbs will emphasize over and over again, that Lady Wisdom leads to life, but Dame Folly to death. In verses 20 through 33, we meet Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom offers wisdom to all. Wisdom. Lady Wisdom, the beautiful personification of wisdom and discretion. We look first at verses 20 through 22. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple, love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? She is calling fervently to you who are simple and the mockers. Wisdom's call is not hidden. She calls in the open. She raises her voice in the public square. She cries out in plain sight of everyone on top of the city wall. At the city gate where everyone meets to do business, she makes her speech. Wisdom is not reserved for some secret initiation. She offers her instruction to everyone who will hear it. She is only too concerned. She is very concerned that the simple will hear what she has to say. Now we begin to see the propensity of human beings to persevere in folly. The simple are the uninstructed, but the simple who will not hear instruction and love their simple ways are pursuing folly. If they insist on their simple ways, they will become mockers. It is the nature of mockers to delight in mockery. They make fun of wisdom. They deride the righteous as naive because they live in chastity, or as naive because they maintain integrity despite losing personal advantage. Their mocking serves to reinforce their folly. In verse 23, Lady Wisdom calls on them to repent at my rebuke. Wisdom rebukes them, rebukes folly. It is wisdom to rebuke folly. Wisdom calls on them to repent at my rebuke. If they do, she promises to pour out her thoughts upon them and to give them wisdom. But if they do not, she declares that she will not help them in the day of their calamity. Their folly will lead to their destruction. And in that day, the consequences of folly will have the person fully in their grip. It will be too late to call on wisdom for help then. Wisdom will be the one that mocks them. The consequences of folly and wisdom. Our lesson concludes in verses 32 and 33 with Lady Wisdom's declaration of the consequences of both wisdom and folly. Verses 32 and 33. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. It couldn't be clearer. Waywardness is the opposite of repentance. The simple are now those who have rejected wisdom. They may think themselves sophisticated, but they are truly simple and without understanding. Their waywardness, their insistence on going their own way, will kill them. The wages of sin is, and always has been, death. Complacency is the mark of the fool. They just don't care. Following the way of wisdom just requires too much effort. Well, that complacency will destroy them. On the other hand, Lady Wisdom declares, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. These words are true in several ways. The person who lives in integrity, purity, and concern for neighbor does have a peace and a wholeness within that no one can take away. Such a life also fosters physical peace and safety, though followers of a crucified Lord are very aware that sometimes their goodness draws the enmity of the wicked. Ultimately, The life of wisdom leads to the peace, safety, and blessing of eternity with God. And so, here we are at the beginning of our study of Proverbs. There are the young who await instruction, the simple who are in grave danger of falling into folly, the fool who mocks at wisdom, and the wise who know their need of perseverance in wisdom and of further learning. Let us ask God for grace to take our place humbly with the young who need instruction and the wise who are fully aware of their need. Let us come humbly before our God, acknowledging Him as our God, and ready to receive His wisdom for living. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, seal these words to our hearts. Make us hungry. Make us hungry for the wisdom that you want to give us. Give us humility to receive it and the grace to recognize you as our God in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.